Good evening. On behalf of Lisa and Alan and Tina and Mason and Sarah and the rest of their family, we welcome you to the celebration of the life of Ronald A. Fess. Some of us know him as Pastor Ron. Some of us know him as Ron. Some of us, as we'll hear, know him a lot of other things. He's a husband, he's a father, he's a grandpa, he's a brother, he's a close friend, and he is a mighty man of God. As I was preparing last week, I was quoting scripture to the Lord. He likes it when you do that. In Psalm 119, which is a short psalm, verse 28 hit my heart. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. If you knew Ron, you knew that he strengthened himself in the word of God in worship. Ron was a worshiper. Ron selected the music you heard when you came in. Ron selected the songs that we're going to sing in worship tonight and the specials that will be sung over us. So we would like to start honoring Ron tonight by joining together in a time of worship. Please stand with us.
that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught the earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbid to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever. My God. prayers have all been answered. I finally arrived. The healing that had been delayed has now been realized. No one's in a hurry. There's no schedule to keep. We're all enjoying Jesus, just sitting at His
I think I see him. He's got camo on, and there's a rifle hanging over his arm, and there's two bird dogs about 30 yards in front of him. Sound like anybody you know? Ron, it took 29 and a half years for the prophecy to be fulfilled, but I think people are going to see a man cry in public. The family has asked a few people to share some scriptures and some select sharings. And Lisa asked if I would speak first. So I'm going to ask you to forgive me, because if you knew Ron, not only did he like to chase rabbits in a field, But he and I were known to chase a few while we were speaking. And so to stay off of the rabbit traces, I'm going to read what I wrote. A few thoughts about Ron Fest. Compared with many of you, I'm a relative newbie in the adventure called the life of Ron Fest. Ron was my best friend. In 1985, when I first saw Ron across the meeting room at the YMCA, I did a double take as I thought I saw the fictional character commonly referred to as Santa Claus. As our relationship developed, I found out Ron looked a lot more like Jesus to those who knew him. Because Ron knew Jesus Christ, the one who is perfection, Ron could do all things with excellence. When Ron gave you his word, he gave you his heart. As a manager, I disliked going to non-productive meetings, and Ron knew that. Ron and I joked about how I once used a John Cleese movie. If you don't know who he is, just think of Monty Python. That's John Cleese. I used that movie to train executive managers on how to effectively run meetings. Ron and I would joke about that. In all of the meetings that I attended, my favorite meeting was at 6 o'clock every Friday morning in Ron's living room. We held each other accountable before the Lord. We prayed for each other and sharpened each other. Last Tuesday afternoon, as I and Ron talked, I told him how much he had sharpened me, removing many of the rough edges. In fact, Ron was a key instrument in the hand of the Lord to fulfill a prophetic word that was spoken over my life in the early 1990s, that I would be a sharp sword in a velvet cloth. Yes, Ron's life, his counsel, removed a lot of rough edges and applied a lot of polish to this cold steel. It was in those early Friday morning meetings that I learned a lot about who Ron Fest really is. We considered deep, applied theological topics, such as there tree stands in heaven, and what really is the best way to call in a Tom. I learned that Ron was a romantic. If you get a chance, look at the flowers up here this evening. Did you know that Flag Day carried a special meaning for Ron? It was June 14th, 1967, that he and Lisa went on their first date. He remembered stuff like that. One Friday morning, I got really bold and asked Ron about the flowers that were on the table. See, there were always flowers when I showed up for the Friday morning meetings. I thought, well, Lisa just put them out for us. See, Ron enjoyed bringing Lisa flowers. And on his way home, he would stop and bring her flowers. About a month ago, I stopped by to see Ron when I was running some errands, and he slipped some money in my hand and asked me to run another errand to deliver some flowers to Lisa. Ron was a list keeper. You may find that hard to believe. Others may perhaps go into that in a little more detail, but one of his favorite books of lists that he always talked about in our meetings was the Masonites. Masonites were things that his grandson Mason said from his first words up until probably last week. They were filled with wisdom and they were filled with laughter. There are many intercessory giftings that the Lord puts inside of people, and one of Ron's strongest giftings was that he is a list intercessor. If you made it on Ron's list, he prayed for you whether he could stand up or not. If you were on his list, He took you to the throne of grace every day. I will bring my thoughts to a pause with this. Every conversation in those meetings always saw Ron asking some sharpening questions to ensure that my priorities were right, and also saw Ron responding to my challenges about his priorities. Finally, Ron's conversations and prayers always affirmed his love for the Lord, for Lisa, for Sarah, for Alan, for Tina, for Mason, and for each of you who the Lord placed upon Ron's heart and brought across his path. I've been asked to read a letter that arrived yesterday from John Benedetti, who lives and ministers in Morelia, Mexico. John wrote, "I have had the wonderful privilege of knowing this man of God for 39 years. To me, Ron is and always will be an example of humbleness and strength. I met Ron and Lisa in 1975. At that time, Ron shared with me his testimony of how the Lord raised him up from near death and saved him, both physically and spiritually. Here we are in 2014 at a memorial service honoring that humble man that raised up for his glory over 39 years ago. I remember Ron in many different ways. First, I remember Ron as a diligent worker. There were times when I would have to go to Braddock's Bay to counsel someone in the middle of the winter. Snow on the ground, wind blowing, water from the lake in the air, and absolutely freezing. And I'd look up, and there was Ron on a roof, working. The first time I saw it, I thought for a moment, this guy has ice in his veins. But I was wrong. His heart was tender and full of compassion for others. Ron was a person that once he put his hand to the plow, he never turned back. He was a man of conviction and ethics. The second thing I remember about Ron, he was a man of compassion. Not the type of compassion that cries and becomes despondent when things go wrong with people, but the type of compassion that really genuinely cares and at the same time is strong. I saw this many, many times in the Open Door Mission when I would go to visit Ron. And then I would minister to the men and then talk and pray with Ron. As he would recount many heartaches of working with people that did not make it, those who quit, those who went back after having received so much from the Lord through Ron's life, Ron was full of compassion, full of concern, and full of hope for those men. Ron was a man that God molded for that particular ministry, strong yet with genuine compassion. Third, Ron was also a person who trusted in others. Ron never wanted to be the leader of a ministry. Ron took things step by step as the Lord prepared his heart to be a shepherd of men. I well remember the time when, after much time of special classes, preaching classes, and counseling classes, Ron was about to preach his first message. He came into the church that Sunday morning and approached me. I was talking with Bill Norton, and Ron said, "I need to talk to you." Ron, Bill, and I went up to my office, and Ron said to me, "I can't do this. I can't preach. You should be the one preaching." My reply was, "No, you can do this. The enemy is trying to stop you. You need to take a step of faith." Then Bill and I laid hands on Ron. We prayed everything possible, called on the Lord, rebuked demons, asked for angels to guide him, and broke all resistance to the call of God that was placed on Ron's life. And Ron did preach his first message that day. In spite of the doubt and the resistance, Ron believed that he had a call of God on his life. I want to end as I started. Ron was and always will be to me an example of tenderness and strength. Those same combinations are found in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb who sits upon the throne. To Lisa and Ron's family, I send my regards, sympathy, and best wishes for the future. We will all soon be with Ron, beholding our Redeemer together. Blessings from Mexico, John Benedetti. All of the scriptures that are going to be read this evening were some of those that were highlighted multiple times in Ron's Bible. I think Ron owned stock in the highlighting companies, because if you ever opened his Bible, it looked like a rainbow all over the place. He loved the Word of God. Lisa has asked their grandson, Mason Fess, to be the first one to read scripture and to share a little about his granddad.
Thank you all for coming. Happy to see a bunch of faces my grandfather has touched. From the book of Psalms, chapter 73, verse 23 through 26, Lord, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to honor and glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And I have no delight or desire on earth besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my rock and firm strength of my heart and my portion forever. Thank you.
Ron had several nieces, and they've asked if his great niece, Megan McDonald, would share at this time.
Hi, everybody. A couple of months ago, when I realized that Malcolm Ron wasn't doing so well, I went over there to visit with my aunt, my uncle. Don't cry, you're going to make me cry. And we went there just to kind of chit-chat and talk and stuff. And I asked him, you know, how are you doing? And are you feeling okay? And like my Uncle Ron always was, he never complained. And he just said, oh, it's fine. You know, he was always very positive with his responses and stuff, especially when we talked about my Elisa, who he loved very much. And at one point, I asked him, are you nervous, you know, about dying and stuff? You know, you ever question if we were wrong about all of this? I mean, it's terrible to say that, but, you know, as a kid, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, especially when you're beginning your walk with God and stuff. And he just replied simply, no. And he said, you know, even if I was wrong, and even if, you know, God never existed, I lived a better and more fulfilling life walking with him than I would have if I wasn't a Christian. And that's something that I felt very close to my heart. And I think that's something definitely to live by, because even when we think that, you know, we can do it all on our own, and when things are going just our way, you know, nothing's ever secure without him. And I've just held that very close since that conversation with him. And I know from experience that it's not easy doing everything on your own. And even on his deathbed, my uncle was reaching out and praying for and blessing other people, which is typical him because he was very selfless. And I can only hope to one day, you know, fulfill my purpose with God, and he did. And I'm going to miss him and all of his words of wisdom. And he was one of the most kind, selfless, and the strongest spiritual person that I've ever met, and I'm really honored to say that he was my uncle.
Thank you, Meg. Ron and Lisa have a lot of spiritual children. One of them is Pastor Peter Morganti, who is going to read the next scripture and share a little bit about Ron.
Thank you guys for this opportunity to do this. It means a lot to be able to be a part of this. And my prayer for you, Mrs. Fess, is that all the comfort that you've given to people, many of them who are in this room, that it would be poured back upon you. You have loved and cared for so many people, including myself, in times of grief and struggle, and even if just a fraction of that were poured out, you would experience tremendous love of God. So I pray that over you and your whole family tonight. Megan said it well. She said that even in his suffering, he was constantly thinking about other people. And if I think about Mr. Fess, first thing I think of is the fact that he's probably in heaven right now shaking his fist at me for calling him Mr. Fess. But over the past several years, Jen and I have had the privilege and the incredible blessing of calling Mr. and Mrs. Fess our personal pastors. And they have walked with us through our wedding day, through our pre-wedding, and through our marriage up to this point. And Mr. Fess, he has been so many things to me. And as I was reflecting on the role that he's played in my life up till tonight, it occurred to me that there has not been a moment in my life of significance that he hasn't been a part of. And his name doesn't, or his face doesn't jump out from the memory like a lot of people's do. But I know that he was there. And like every experience I've had with him, he was never seeking to be first. He was never seeking to be noticed or to be up front, but just to love and to represent Jesus in every situation that he was in. And he did that because I know Jesus a whole lot better because I knew Ron Fess. I confided some of my deepest secrets, things that I haven't confided with anybody else, with Mr. Fess, because I knew I would find two things. I would find God's wisdom, that as I shared with him struggles that I was going through and doubts and fears and things that have happened in my life, as I shared them with him, that he would be able to share with me God's heart, and he did so many times. And then I knew I would find grace, things that I wouldn't want to share with anybody else out of fear of being looked at differently. I could share with him knowing that he wouldn't look at me any differently and that he'd accept me with grace and with love. And if there's anything that I can learn from him, it's that, to be able to love with a tenderness and with an acceptance that he had for everybody that he interacted with. It was just about a month ago, I had called Mr. and Mrs. Fess for some prayer and for some counsel and some advice in a situation that I was going through. And we prayed together on the phone. And it was about a week later that I got a phone call from Mr. Fess. And he had left me a voicemail that I had to listen to three or four times to even figure out what he was saying, because his voice had gone so weak. And I could tell that he was having difficulty even talking because he was so tired. But as I listened to the voicemail, I heard him say, "Hey, Pete, it's Ron. Just thinking about you and wanted to let you know that I'm praying for you, and I hope you're having a good day." And I thought, if I was in his position, the last thing I'd be thinking about is some random young guy to pray for throughout the day. And that's what he did, and I know that he did that for so many of us in this room, and that I'm not alone. So I want to read a verse that was highlighted when Mrs. Fess told me that we were going to be reading the highlighted portion from his scripture. We asked our people here to make sure they had enough coffee on. But this is Psalm 71, 15 through 19 from the Amplified Bible. It says, "My mouth shall tell of your righteous acts and of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is more than I know. I will come in the strength and with the mighty acts of the Lord God. I will mention and praise your righteousness, even yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared your wondrous works. Yes, even when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, but keep me alive until I have declared your mighty strength to this generation, and your might and your power to all that are to come. Your righteousness also, O God, is very high, reaching to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you, or who is your equal?" I'm thankful tonight that Mr. Fess is able to stand in the presence of God and experience his glory in ways that he so desperately dreamed of. Thank you.
As Peter alluded to, Ron was a Psalm 133 type of guy. He really wanted to see such unity in the body of Christ that Father would pour his blessing out. And when I look around the room tonight, I know there are over 30 different expressions of the body of Christ represented here. That's the unity that Father wants to see, is that we're willing to come together and celebrate. Lisa asked if their nephew, Eric McDonald, would share some thoughts about Ron.
Wow. What a great turnout to celebrate the life of this man. I'm sure he's probably sitting up there now looking down. I'm sure he's honored by looking at all these people, but he's probably humbled, maybe even a little embarrassed if you're allowed to be embarrassed in heaven. I know we've already heard a few things. I think we're going to hear a common thread tonight about Ron because it's who he was. I'm going to keep my thoughts and my comments brief, but to the point. When I was a young Christian, not even really a Christian, I was just kind of beginning to embrace the faith a little bit, and Ron sensed that something was going on with me. He had reached out to me, and he called me up, and I remember I was in my little house on English Road. And I thought, and Jen answered the phone. She says, it's my Uncle Ron. I thought, what's he want to talk to me about, you know? And I get on the phone, and he said, we started talking a little bit, and he said, well, you've been coming to church. And I said, yeah, and, you know, I'm starting to sense a little something going on in my heart. And he said, Eric, I want to tell you something. He said, there's two things in this life that I can tell you I've put all my confidence in, my faith, and that I believe in with all my heart. Turkey hunting and Christianity. And I can tell you, I can't say much about turkey hunting, but I can tell you about the walk that I know this man had, the walk that he exhibited, the example that he was to each and every one of us, and obviously to me. By the way, he said it wasn't necessarily in that order, the two things he could believe in. You know, this religion that so many of us have embraced, Ron embodied it so perfectly. He was really the representation. I think we're going to hear that over and over, and everybody who's spoken tonight has talked about how he represented this religion so perfectly, because we live in a time where so often, like I said, Christianity, this thing that we love and many of us here embraced, is judged more by the people that proclaim to follow it than what this book actually says about it. And it's often viewed as a judgmental thing, that we're judgmental, and sometimes rightfully so. And I think it's often viewed as people see it as a list of rules and regulations, of do's and don'ts and things you can and can't do. But Ron represented it exactly the way that this book describes how it ought to be represented and how we're to live our lives. And that those things are what we read in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's not being judgmental. In fact, the Bible says to us we're not to be judgmental at all, doesn't it? The Bible says, who are you to judge the servant of another? No, what we were called to do is to show mercy, to love one another, to forgive one another, to be a beacon of light in a world that can so often be so dark. And most importantly, to be a representative of Christ here on this earth. That's what we are called to do. And if that's the call that all of us are supposed to have, Ron did it perfectly, in my opinion. I never met somebody that embodied it so well. As Peter shared, no matter what your background was, no matter what state you were in, what sinful state you were in, what you had done, what your moral shortcomings were, you could go to Ron Fess and you could tell him everything that you were into and everything that you had done. And you could get to the deepest, darkest places of your soul. and be telling him. And you'd see these looks of pain come across his face. But it wasn't because it was judgment against you or because he was looking at you any differently, as Peter had said. I'm seeing faces nodding back there. It's because he knew that he saw that it was the enemy who just got another lick in. And all you really saw in those eyes would be forgiveness. All you would see was mercy. And when you got done sharing everything you had to say, then he would start to minister to you, and he would minister to you hope. And he would teach you that God's mercies are new every day. And that you can go forward now as in a new beginning. And not to justify what you had done in the past, but to say you can go forward now knowing that you're forgiven. And you could leave there with hope. You'd feel uplifted. And in this time, I think, where there's a lot of Christian ministers in the world and really good ones, but I think oftentimes ministries tend to outweigh the gospel sometimes, and I don't know if that makes sense how I'm saying it, but sometimes ministers get so caught up in their ministry they forget what the big picture is, and that is just showing the love of Christ to those that are here on the earth. Ron had a huge ministry. Just look at who's here. Between all the churches that he was a member of and participated in, all the ministries at those churches or whatever ministries he participated in, and his time at the Open Door Mission, and his everyday walk, no matter who he came across, whether he was going to the store, wherever he was going, it was his mission field. When he was in the hospital, how many stories we heard, it was his mission field. No matter where he went to, he was exhibiting the love of Christ and propagating the gospel, no matter what he was doing. And it was always less of Ron, more of Jesus, whenever he ministered. And I remember the story that I want to share with you, and it's brief. But I was a Christian at this point, and I was I felt like I had been wronged. And I was upset about it. And I wasn't exactly sure how to deal with it. I was a fairly young Christian, but I was right. I really felt like I was right. And so I did what I always do when I'm kind of angry and I'm not exactly sure what to do about it. I called Ron. And he was still working down at the mission. And I set up an appointment. He carved a few minutes out of his schedule for me to go down there. And I remember I was driving over. And I already knew in my heart what he was going to say. And so I started, like a lawyer, building up a case. I started making it airtight. I'm going to start here, and then I'm going to tell him this, and then I'm going to tell him that, and then I'm going to get to this point. And I knew what he was going to end up saying would be some Christian parable or some scripture that's going to tell me that I need to turn the other cheek or that I need to forgive my enemies or something else. Well, I got there, and I did exactly that. I was probably like Job. If you could only see my righteousness versus my iniquities on a scale, I'd be righteous before. But I'm going through, and like a lawyer, I build my case for him, and I'm going on and on, and I've got a head of steam. And I build this case up, and I get to the very end of it in a huff, sweating probably, and thinking, well, Ron, what do you have to say about this? And Ron was holding the Bible, and he looked down at his Bible, and then he looked back up at me, and he said, I don't know what to say, so let's pray. It was in that moment that I really saw the essence of who he was. It was in that moment that I saw there was nothing fake about this man. That he really had a goal and a purpose, and that was to show what Jesus would do in that very moment. And if he didn't know, and if the Holy Spirit didn't put it on his heart to say something, then he would say nothing at all. And he would just take me back to the source of where I had to go. It had nothing to do with Ron Fess's ministries. It had nothing to do with Ron Fess coming up with the answer to my problem. It really had nothing to do with fixing me. It just had to do with representing Christ to me. You know, Ron, I could go on and on. I mean, there were tons of scriptures that Ron probably could have come up with that day. but he was humble enough to not say anything that he didn't think needed to be said at that point. And I could go on and on about his incredible humility, his forgiving nature, his merciful nature. These were gifts that he was given. And if that's something that we can all take away tonight, it's just that. That Ron was given many gifts. They all shared that. He was given many gifts. And the way that Ron opted to use his gift wasn't to promote himself. It was to promote the gospel. And to be a representation of Jesus here on this earth. And I think every one of us has an opportunity tonight to learn from that. And to take these gifts that God's given us. And we all don't have the same gifts as Ron. We all know that. But he did give us gifts that we're to take from here. And to try and make an impact in our sphere of influence the way that Ron did. And as I look around, it was quite an impact. There's a Mount Rushmore of Christianity in my life. I've said this before. Ron Fess is on it. In fact, he sits in the seat of Washington. His name was Ron Fess, and he was the best man I ever met.
As you've heard, Ron and Lisa touched many, many lives in unique ways and established some very special friendships and the love they poured into people's lives. And one of those is a very special friend of many years, and that's Mary Beth Morganti. She has the next scripture reading and some sharings on Ron.
Isn't it an awesome privilege to be here tonight to glorify God and to honor a godly man? Psalm 78, 2 through 7. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the next generation the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Ron was a man for the generations. In that last week before he died, many generations came to visit. And when those babies came in, he looked up at them, so thankful that he was still alive to see yet another generation. And he could look. Sometimes all he could do was reach out his hand. And other times he could just look and say, beautiful, beautiful generation. He lived and he believed that the way he lived his life affected not just him, but everyone around him. And not just for the present time, but also for the future generations. His love for his Savior and his passion for the truth of the Word of God caught my attention and captured my heart over 30 years ago, the very first time I ever heard him preach. And on that day, I made a choice to stop living for myself and to start living for Christ forever. And that choice affected not just me, and not just the people around me, but for generations to come. And over the next 33 years, Ron and Lisa, and by the way, it's going to take me a long time to stop saying Ron and Lisa, because they truly were one in the best way I've ever seen a husband and wife to be. And thank you for that. So over the next 33 years, Ron and Lisa loved us, prayed for us, laughed with us, and cried with us. They counseled us and they taught us that in every situation, in every circumstance, in every trial, we have a choice. God's way or our own way. And God's way is the only way that will produce good fruit every single time. Fruit for us, fruit for those around us, and fruit for the generations to come. So thank you, Ron, for your godly example, for giving us godly wisdom on how to choose God's way. And thank you for the passion that you had for the truth of God's word that says in Joshua 24, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
And as for me and my house, our house, we will serve the Lord.
And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord.
Thank you.
You just saw the fruit of the seeds of love that Ron and Lisa planted in one generation, rooted in another, and gave birth in another to prepare the way for the next. That's who Ron and Lisa are. Ron and Lisa have three very special daughters, Sarah, the covenant daughter Tina, and a special spiritual daughter, Pauline DeLeo. And Pauline, who had a very special place in Ron's heart, is going to share next.
A tribute to my neighbor, my pastor, spiritual father, and friend, Ron Fess. A man of God, a man of prayer, a man whose heart always cared, a man of lists, of laughs, and lore, a man who loved and lived for the Lord. A man of mercy, tenderness, and grace, and a man who would always give you of his time, no matter the place. A lover of history and hunting, birds and antique wares, a lover of people caught in sin's snares. A godly husband, father, grandfather, and friend, a man who was faithful to the Lord until the very end. A connoisseur of fine foods, beef and potatoes, poultry and potatoes, wild game and potatoes, Reese's peanut butter cups, plain M&Ms and Cheez-Its, ice cream, chocolate cupcakes, and hamburgers without paws. But most of all, Ron loved my spaghetti sauce. A computer whiz was not he, but in his last few months, he typed away at that laptop, writing out his legacy. And with flash drives in hand and hair on end, he compiled with his breathtaking photography what he could not say through his pen. As his illness progressed, in his recliner he was confined to sit, but I never heard a word of complaint or ever saw him pitch a fit. And as he lived his life from that spot, many of his belongings would often disappear, only to be found by us in, around, and under his chair. His ministry to many continued from that place as they came to him, receiving prayers of blessing and grace. He took me into his family and heart, and through his many stories and teaching of the Word of God. He did so much to me in part. He covered me with many prayers and saw me through many tears. But the greatest gift through Ron that God allowed me to experience and see is the love and heart of my Heavenly Father and Jesus for me. He was not perfect, as none of us are, and he would quickly confess his sins to the one with the scars. And he would often doubt if he had done his all or his best. But at the end, Jesus said to him, "Well done, my son. Enter into your rest." His prayer for us who remain would be that at the end of our life, each of us would be established and found in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And though for now I have said goodbye, after the number of my days and a wake-up have come to an end, I'll see you again, Ron, when I meet Jesus face to face. A tribute to my neighbor, my pastor, spiritual father, and friend, Ron Fess.
Ron was an outdoorsman, fishing, hunting, birding, recording which ones he saw. That was one of his lists. Ron never came back empty-handed. Sometimes he came back with stories. Always a story. One of those stories came from Pennsylvania and developed into a close family relationship. The next person to share is Pastor Ed Jelliff from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm just the guy from Pennsylvania. And 31 years ago, I was on my father-in-law's farm, and this kind of this halfway beat-up truck with like two 40-foot ladders pulled in on the first day of buck season in Pennsylvania, and I kind of inquired, "Who is this?" And I too thought maybe it was Santa Claus that come early, but I soon found out that it was Ron. That was 1983. Ron Fess had come, and he was hunting, and him and I and Al, Dave, the guys would come, and we would hunt, and we'd hunt. I'm not too sure about the tree stand deal, because one time I walked by on top of the hill behind the barn, and some of the things are just like hunting code. You don't know those different things. But behind the barn on top of the top of the woods, I walked by Ron one day, and he was in his tree stand. The tree stand was at least 3 feet off the ground. I was just amazed. So I'm not too sure he liked tree stands, but I have slept in a dome tent with Ron in like low teens temperature. He taught me to shove my clothes into the bottom of my sleeping bag so I could keep them warm for the next morning, and had a great time hunting ducks and turkeys and deer up there at the Taj Mahal, the little cottage there or whatever. I forget what you refer to it. The cozy cabin, right, you're right. We didn't dare stay in the cozy cabin, so we slept in a dome tent. So it was an honor to be in the tent, in the field, in the blind with Ron. And I thank Al for those moments. He let me be the son, so to speak, in his dad's life. And Ron spoke many, many things into my life. And I could go on and on and on, just like the rest of you. And just kind of my story would be very similar to yours. And just those moments. And I would relish those phone calls when I moved to Lancaster finally. And he could tell a story. He could tell a story. There was always a story, and he could really make you just wait with bated breath for the end of that story and what was going on. There's some things that stuck out to me from Ron. He makes a list, and I found out from 83 until maybe about 86, I had made it to his list. And I didn't know the Lord at that time. And Ron would loved me, and I found out later that he partnered with my wife and his wife to pray for me, and to pray me into the kingdom, so to speak. And he began to pray and pray and pray and pray. And I really tonight I really feel like he's an Ezekiel in my life. And Ezekiel, in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, we know it well, when the Spirit of the Lord was on Ezekiel, right? And he placed him in a valley. It wasn't Ezekiel's valley, it was someone else's valley. It was someone's valley with dry bones. And early in the 80s and the mid-80s and the early 90s and ever since, Ron was placed by the Spirit of the living God in my valley. And I was one of those dry bones on that floor. And I loved the part in Ezekiel. He just said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he said, I don't know, God, only you know. And he said, prophesy, hear the word of the Lord. And over and over and over and over and over would Ron speak the word of the Lord into my life. He was so powerful at speaking the word of the Lord into someone's life. He had the uncanny ability to trust God at every turn of life. I was infatuated with his ability to trust God. And I can remember in 1996... his prayer was answered in July 19th on a Thursday night in southern Pennsylvania when some guy shared the gospel and God grabbed my heart. And I know I come home from that and it wasn't too long and we made a trek to Rochester because I needed to talk to Ron. And I can remember sharing my testimony in a living room with Ron and Lisa and just how the Lord had answered the prayers. And as Cheryl had been praying, my wife, and he had been praying, and Lisa had been praying, and I was just sharing how the Lord had showed me who I was without him and who I was with him and about the forgiveness that God had in store for me and how I had embraced Christ as he had embraced me that night. And I looked up at Ron, and he's weeping onto the floor. He was the only one that wept for me and with me. I live 5 hours away. I didn't get to see him as much. But I'm sure going to miss him. And I'm starting interviewing right now for his position as intercessor in my life. So if you'd like to take that, I'm taking applications after the service. I got a text just before I come here, and I talk about Ron a lot in my ministry. I'm a pastor now. I'm a church planter. I thought about Ron on Sunday as a 19-year-old girl gave her life to Christ. I got to be a part of that. And I got a text from a guy. He said, make sure when you go to that service, tell him thank you. Tell him, thank you for letting Ron invest in your life, because now you're investing in mine. Thanks, Ron Fass. Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Al. Tina, Mason, Sarah. Thank you for sharing your dad with me.
You also touch people all around the world. Just as he touched your life at some point, go and do likewise. And people will send you back to say thank you. It's a unique kingdom we live in. The next scripture is going to be read by Ron's covenant daughter, Tina.
I wasn't going to bring that up. This is Psalm 84, verses 5 through 7, and 10 through 12. Blessed is a man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the ways of them, who's passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also fills the pools with blessings. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a doorkeeper and stand at the threshold in the house than to dwell at ease in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed, happy, and to be envied is the man who trusts in you without fear or misgiving. For those of you that don't know, I did get to spend some time with Ron. We had a every other Saturday night sit in while everyone else went to church. And we had a good time visiting and sharing. And I got accused of waterboarding him. I got accused of withholding dinner until Lisa got home. It was just a great time to spend with a wonderful man. And he truly embodied what it was to be a father. And I appreciate that.
I've been blessed to know Alan Fess for a couple of days. Since he helped me run a youth retreat right after he graduated from high school, I think. And I think he knew more about what he was doing than I did. But I've been blessed to be able to walk with Alan over these past 20 years and see the mighty man that he's become and see how his father's heart and his father's heart are becoming one in Alan.